This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Microsoft, Facebook, Dropbox, all multi-billion dollar companies with Boston roots that eventually headed out west to the promised land of startups and innovation, Silicon Valley.
It's true. Boston's track record for attracting and keeping big-time innovators and entrepreneurs may not be the greatest, and a few people have lamented this fact with more sincerity than Scott Kersner, the innovation economy columnist for the Boston Globe, who joined us last May to reflect on the westward migration of Facebook.
It's a little bit hard to see the silver lining in all of this new wealth that's being created for Facebook employees and a lot of the West Coast venture capital firms. And I just feel like it's one of those things that makes you introspective and just kind of want to ask the question of what could we do to try to retain or better support the next important startup.
In a recent piece for the Globe, Kersner wrote, "Like a left-behind lover, I sometimes get a little obsessed with the entrepreneurs who start their companies in Boston but then pack their bags for California. But in fact, he says there are plenty of entrepreneurs and high-tech innovators who've set up shop in Boston and made the decision to stay. He's written about them and the seven factors that attract them to Boston." And Scott Kersner joins us again today. And Scott, welcome back to Radio Boston. This we like to call the safe sanctuary for left-behind lovers. So we're glad to have you.
You will play back with their sweet nothings that they've whispered, though, on tape.
Well, Scott, let's start. Tell us about the impetus for writing this piece. We're going to talk about these seven factors that make Boston a great place for innovators, and we're going to hear some examples of them. But what was the impetus for this piece?
Well, you know, I feel like I had been obsessed over the last couple of years, really since I moved back from San Francisco in 2007 with, you know, companies that got started in Boston but did move out to Silicon Valley. And you know, I was obsessed with it basically because I wanted to know what we could learn from it and how we could kind of make the business ecosystem here better. But I had lunch in August with a venture capitalist in Kendall Square. We were sitting at a nice outdoor picnic table there on the square. And he said, you know, I think you're being too much of a, you know, negative media person about this. And I see a lot of entrepreneurs who move to Boston, you know, either to get funding or to hire great people. And what if you did a column that listed, you know, I could give you a list of 20 people that have moved to Boston from elsewhere. And so I did want to do that column to kind of understand, you know, what is our magnetic attraction and what kind of entrepreneurs are we attracting?
So we're going to talk about that. And let's talk about these seven factors that make Boston an attractive place for entrepreneurs. Your list includes a rich talent pool, education, networking. That all seems to be sort of part of one. Talk about that.
Yeah, you know, people find it easy to hire, particularly for, you know, chemists and biologists and software engineers and roboticists and all these, you know, all these things that you want your kid to grow up to become, you know, because they're in so much demand. We just have a lot of them floating around Boston, and so you can hire them quickly. I was going to say, you know, the networking thing is just you can go out any night of the week.
Sure.
And schmooze with other entrepreneurs and potentially hire employees or find investors. There are a lot of, you know, both networking events and also educational things like how to pitch to an investor or how to, you know, file patent protection for your idea.
And here's an advantage that the Boston area has that Silicon Valley doesn't have: urban density.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting to hear an entrepreneur say that they looked at the Bay Area and just felt like, well, you kind of have to have a car to get anywhere. Mm. And, you know, it does have a bit of the suburban sprawl. But then you come to Boston and, you know, it's easy to take a Hubway bike or walk or take the T anywhere. And you can really go places, particularly Kendall Square and the Fort Point Channel area, and you'll walk down the street and you bump into other entrepreneurs and you have those kinds of casual conversations that give people great ideas or give them pieces of advice that are going to help their company. And it's, people have called it sort of the bump and connect of Boston. You know, you never know who you're going to meet.
Now, another one that sort of surprised me, because I would have thought that this would have been, there would have been pools of this out in Silicon Valley, that they would be literally sort of pools of money that you would just sort of put your hose into and pull it up, access to capital.
Yeah, I think they do have that in Silicon Valley, but I think there are lots of parts of the country. You know, you're starting a company in Missoula, Montana,
sure,
and you're looking for venture capital firms, and, you know, you page through the whole phone book and you don't find one. You know, we are lucky that I think when you look at the data, pretty much every year we're the number two state behind California in terms of how much money venture capitalists invest in startup companies.
Well, let me introduce someone else into this conversation. Nick Francis, he's co-founder and CEO of Help Scout, a Boston-based startup company. I believe he was one of the companies you took a look at, Scott, in your column.
Yep.
And Nick Francis, welcome to Radio Boston. Great to have you.
I'm thrilled to be with you.
Well, so you've been hearing Scott talk about this, and let's start with that last point, access to capital. Give me a sense. Well, wait, first of all, tell us what Help Scout is.
Sure. Help Scout, a geek would refer to it as a help desk. Mm. Essentially, it's an easy way for two or more people to share an inbox, an email inbox, and stay on the same page, make sure everybody gets a response back.
All right. So you're up and running. You're doing well?
Yes, doing very well.
Why did you come to Boston to set up this company? And tell me where you came from.
Right. My co-founders and I are originally from Nashville, Tennessee. Very much love Nashville, but we fell in love with this program called TechStars. It's a 90-day, what they call startup accelerator, where they give you some funding. And as part of the program, it's mentor-driven. So they've got about 100 entrepreneurs in the Boston ecosystem that kind of mentor you over a 90-day period as your product gets better. And at the end, you do a demo day. You present your idea and your product to 500-plus investors. And then you have an opportunity to raise some seed funding. So hundreds of companies apply for TechStars. We were one of the lucky 11 selected for last year's class. And that's what initially brought us to Boston.
And the decision to stay, you didn't sort of start up this company and then pull up stakes and immediately want to head out west, for example?
Absolutely not. We raised money from 17 individual angel investors. 14 of them actually live and reside in Boston. Over the course of those 90 days, we learned a great deal, developed some absolutely lifelong relationships with people here in Boston and seasoned entrepreneurs that were going to help us build the business. It'd be crazy for us to leave.
All right. What about the other things that you heard Scott talking about, whether it's the opportunities to network, the universities kicking out great and qualified people to hire, urban density? Do these things sort of resonate with you?
Absolutely. All of them do. Two of them really stuck out to me, one of them being the community. From day one at TechStars, we had a community of tons of entrepreneurs willing to embrace our company and help us get better. As a young first-time CEO, there's no problem I can have that 25 Boston entrepreneurs haven't had before and would be willing to sit down and help me with. So the community is really important, but the second piece of that is certainly the fundraising piece of it.
Listeners, we want to hear from you. If you've heard the lament before that Boston loses out to Silicon Valley for a lot of reasons, what do you make of Scott Kirzner's counterargument, and what do you make from what you hear from Nick Francis? Give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. If you also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. And we'd love to hear from you if you're thinking about starting up a company here or if you're thinking about leaving because of the old lament. Scott, what do you hear in Nick Francis' story?
Well, I mean, you know, it's interesting to note that TechStars Boston didn't exist 4 years ago, I think. Mm-hmm. And so it's a relatively new program that brings a dozen to 15 companies. Some of them are actually already entrepreneurs who are here, but some of them come from Israel and Estonia. So we have TechStars Boston. And the other one, which is even bigger, is this thing called Mass Challenge that lets 125 startup companies kind of hang out in free office space for a few months and tries to give them the same kind of mentorship and connections to investors. And, you know, those programs are really new and they're doing a good job of exposing people, you know, from other places to, you know, what works in Boston and kind of the entrepreneurial excitement here. And some of them stay, some of them may wind up leaving.
Let me ask you about a couple of other items on your 7-point list. And it's a word that I almost I'm almost afraid to say on the air because I mess it up so often. Heterogeneity. Did I say that right?
Yeah, I wasn't going to dare to write it. I write it in the column, but I wouldn't pronounce it. But someone, I forget who, just said, you know, Silicon Valley is kind of a monoculture in the same way that L.A. is a monoculture. And you go to coffee shops in L.A., everyone's talking about their screenplay that they're working on or, you know, their acting resume. In Silicon Valley, everyone is talking about their business plan. And the nice thing about Boston is you can go and you can, you know, you can meet heart surgeons here and you can meet, you know, violinists for the Boston Symphony and you can meet lots of college professors and, you know, that there's not just one thing here. And so, you get a lot of interesting, exposure, I guess, to people who work in different fields. And I think some of that leads people to thinking about solving problems in those kinds of different fields, not just sort of building tech for tech's sake, but saying, you know, like, hey, what if I could build some software that would help doctors, you know, look at patient records on their mobile phone while they're on the go instead of having to be at a PC, and like suddenly you have a new company.
And Nick, you know, this brings to mind another question. I mean, comment in any way you want about what Scott just said about heterogeneity and that sort of variety. But what are the intangibles that a city like Boston offers you? What are they? You talked about access to capital. I understand that. But are there other issues as well?
There's a couple things that stick out to me. The first being B2B. We're a B2B business. We sell to other businesses. And there's countless successful companies that have started and remain here in Boston that sell to other businesses. So Boston's really known, really, and they do that really well. Mm. In addition, I think the investors here are very savvy. Mm. They know the metrics necessary to build a startup and make it viable, make it profitable, and make it as great as it can be. They're not just going to invest in a good team and a good idea and throw caution to the wind. They're really smart about how they invest, and I consider that an asset. A lot of people consider that conservative. I think it's great.
Listeners, we're talking about what Boston is doing right to attract and keep its entrepreneurs and startup companies. Let's take a couple of calls. Alexander is calling from Lexington. Hi, Alexander. You're on the air.
Hi, Anthony. Thank you for having me. I just moved up from Philadelphia, and I'm moving into the. I'm just literally a few weeks old in Massachusetts, and I was wondering. I'm a recent grad, and I wanted to get my ideas out there in terms. I have like a slew of ideas which are both virtual and real based, and I wanted to know. Is there any central resource that I could find in downtown, like in downtown Boston or somewhere, is a community where it has like a community of entrepreneurs which are willing to sit down one to one and like give different like financial advice, legal advice, and stuff.
Got
like
it, Alexander. Well, you've come to the right place, Scott Kirstner. Do you have some advice for Alexander?
You know, Nick and I were talking before the show about this place called the Venture Cafe in Kendall Square, which. Is open every Thursday. There's free beer there, which attracts a lot of people. And it's kind of a place where entrepreneurs hang out, and there are often kind of educational workshop-y sessions going on. So that would be a good place to start. And Mass Challenge also has a lot of events that are open to the community.
Alexander, thanks so much for the call. Scott, this is sort of a good news segment, but we can always do better. What does Boston need to do to keep attracting, to keep keeping entrepreneurs like Nick Francis, who's sitting right next to you here in Boston?
Well, you know, I think in terms of this, what cities can do, it feels like, you know, our housing is probably no more expensive than San Francisco and New York and L.A. and a lot of other places that, you know, that are kind of talent magnets right now. But you can always build more affordable housing. You know, no one's going to complain if rents stabilize or maybe go down, or it's easier for people to buy their first house, you know, within 10 years of graduating from college. So that's one thing. And I think the other one is just, you know, is sort of trying to keep the cities, Boston and Cambridge regulatory regime flexible and kind of fast responding to new business ideas. I mean, you know, the one that's been in the press lately has been these mobile retail trucks where someone buys an old FedEx truck and decides to, you know, put a clothing store in the back of it. And, you know, often entrepreneurs are kind of working at the edge of where the regulations are. And so I think just to be able to, you know, to change quickly, or at least evaluate things quickly, you know, to help entrepreneurs build new kinds of businesses.
And Scott, finally, you know, I'm curious because, you know, since you had that lunch with folks that urged you to sort of take a look at this story and write this column about reasons for entrepreneurs to choose to stay in Boston, do you feel sort of differently about this whole issue since you've done this?
You know, it has changed me, Anthony. There was a story today about, you know, funny, just before he came in, about a biotech company, publicly traded biotech company in Seattle that's moving to Boston, you know, because of the talent pool. So I am a little bit more glass half full about it. And I think that, you know, you can always be more of a magnet to talent, you know, but it is great to acknowledge that we are a talent and entrepreneurship magnet here.
All right, Scott Kirstner, Boston Globe columnist and host of the Innovation Economy blog. Scott, thanks so much for coming in and bringing this issue before us. And Nick Francis, co-founder and CEO of Help Scout, an online help desk for small businesses. Nick, great to have you, and thanks for joining us today.
Thanks very much.
Coming up, the music of A Far Cry, a conductorless classical ensemble. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.